Thank you, Bill, for leading us in prayer a few moments ago. Thank you, Max, for leading us in song as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And thank you, Doug, for giving us that reading of the Scripture there from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And thank each and every one of you for your presence here this morning. I encourage everyone to keep your Bibles opened up there to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to begin there in just a moment as we continue our sermon series on servitude. And as we continue our series this morning on servitude and the necessities of being a servant and what's involved in being a servant and some characteristics and qualities of a servant, we're going to take a look at the passage that Doug just read for us a few moments ago there from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 24, where it says, "And a servant of the Lord must." That's the title of our lesson this morning. We're going to take a look at some qualities that a servant of the Lord must possess. And as we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, we find that the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, concerning some qualities of a servant of the Lord. And it's important to note as we, again, study servants and being a servant, that word servant here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 is the Greek word doulos, which means slave. That's what that word means. It literally means slave. And it describes one who is bound to do what he is told to do regardless of what he thinks about it. I want you to keep that in mind as we study these must-have characteristics of a servant of the Lord this morning. You see, as servants of the Lord, we are slaves to the Lord. And we are bound to do what He instructs us to do, regardless of what we think about it. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go through our study this morning. You see, a servant of the Lord is to carry out the instructions given by their Master Jesus Christ, no matter what. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. A servant of the Lord is to carry out the instructions given by the Lord. And when you think about this, you think about Paul writing this to Timothy. Not only was that applicable to Timothy, but it's applicable to each and every one who is a servant of the Lord. So knowing that, let's take some time this morning to examine some of these must-have qualities of a servant of the Lord. And I begin this morning by noting there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, where it says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel." You see, here we learn that a servant of the Lord, they must not strive, as the King James Version reads, or quarrel. And it's important to note that to strive or to quarrel commonly denotes to fight, to make war, to be given to contention, or a noisy dispute usually marked by anger. Here we are given instruction of what not to be like as a servant of the Lord. We are not to strive. We are not to quarrel. Simply put, when you think about that, a servant of the Lord is not to be going around picking fights. A servant of the Lord is not to be going around looking for trouble or starting trouble. And it's important that we recognize that as a servant of the Lord, we must not be people who are given to contention, who go around starting trouble. You see, when you think about that, when you think about what it means to strive or to quarrel, and it denotes to fight or to make war, to be given to contention, to be given in a noisy dispute marked by anger. I want you to think about that. How effective is a servant going to be who possesses this type of mentality? How effective in winning souls for Jesus is one going to be when they're going around trying to start a fight? When they're going around raising their voice, yelling and screaming at someone, given but over to contention? You think about that. How effective are you going to be in winning a soul to Christ? I think we all can answer that question, can't we? It's not going to be very effective, is it? I mean, put yourself in that situation for a moment. How do you like to be yelled at? How do you take being yelled at? I venture to say none of us like to be yelled at, right? And then you add somebody shaking their finger in front of you at that. Who likes to have a finger pointed and shaking at you while they're yelling at you? I venture to say not a one of us here like that. And you think about a servant of the Lord and this quality that a servant of the Lord must not have. A servant of the Lord must not strive or quarrel. Again, a servant of the Lord must imitate their master. And guess what? Jesus the Christ did not strive or quarrel. Did you know that? You see, this is written there in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 19. And there in Matthew chapter 12, we learn in the context there where Jesus healed many. But as good Bible students, we know that he went on to tell people, don't tell no one. And then there we see where it's mentioned there in Matthew chapter 12, where the prophet Isaiah spoke these words of prophecy concerning Jesus. And notice what's said there in verse 19. He will not quarrel or cry out. Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Master, did not quarrel. He did not strive. He did not quarrel. He did not have this mentality of going around picking fights, going around looking for trouble. That was not what he was about. And just as our Master was not about that, neither should we as his servants. But rather we should strive to imitate our Master and shall not strive to quarrel. And we need to be mindful of the fact that a servant of the Lord must not give way or indulge in feelings or emotions that commonly give rise to contention, but rather should seek to be peaceable with all men. Again, as we noted earlier, we must refrain from giving in to those feelings of emotion that come upon us that give rise to contention. We talked about it briefly this morning in our adult Bible class, the need to have self-control. As a servant of the Lord, we need to have self-control. We need to be mindful that we must not give way or indulge in those feelings or emotions that commonly give rise to contention. But rather, we should always seek to be peaceable with all men. Simply put, the servant of the Lord should strive to be a man of peace. And we can learn about this there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Notice these words of the Apostle Paul here with me. And here in the context of Romans chapter 12, Paul is addressing Christians. He's addressing children of God, and he's instructing them on how to behave as a Christian. And notice what he says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 18. He says, if it is possible. That tells us it may not always be possible. But Paul says, if it is possible, as much depends on you. That means everything that you can do, as much depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. You see that? We need to be mindful of that instruction. And as a servant of the Lord, we must recognize the need not to quarrel, but rather we must strive to be men who seek to be peaceable with all. Knowing that, do not strive or quarrel. Remembering, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 3. But now we see where Paul gives further instruction of qualities that a servant of the Lord must possess when he says there in verse 24, but be gentle to all. We learn that a servant of the Lord is not to quarrel, but rather they are to be gentle or kind to all. It's important to note that to be gentle or kind denotes to be meek or mild-tempered. And again, a servant of the Lord is to imitate their master. And just as our master, Jesus the Christ, was gentle so should be a servant of the Lord. We learn there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29 the fact that Jesus himself describes himself as one who was gentle, as one who was meek or lowly. And notice this with me there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 29. There Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Why? Jesus will notice. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Did you catch that? You see, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ was gentle. And just as he was gentle, he likewise expects the same from his servants. And as a servant of the Lord, we too must be gentle, kind, meek, mild-tempered. And here's the thing, when you think about this quality, the quality of gentleness, did you know that it is part of the fruit of the Spirit that should be true and evident of every servant of the Lord? You see, gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as we learn there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And this is something that should be shown even to those who may least deserve it. You see, it's easy to be gentle to those we like, to those that treat us kindly in return, isn't it? It's not so easy to be gentle to those who may be yelling and screaming at us, those who may be opposed to us, those who may not like us. That's not as easy to be kind and gentle to people like that, is it? But gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And as children of God, every part of the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in us. Even gentleness. And even needs to be shown to those who may least deserve it. But another characteristic of a servant of the Lord that we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 is the fact that a servant of the Lord must be able to teach, as we go on to see. This would imply or involve the ability to teach sound doctrine to others. And when you think about Paul writing this to Timothy, you think about Timothy who was a evangelist. Not only would it be important for a evangelist, a preacher of God's word, to have the ability to teach sound doctrine to others, but I want you to know that this is applicable to all servants of the Lord. Not just preachers, but all servants of the Lord need to have that ability to skillfully deal with the facts of God's word. And they need to deal with the facts of God's word with clarity. You see, when you think about talking about religion subjects with others, and you think about talking about religion or spiritual matters with others, how often does that conversation get diverted onto personal feelings or personal desires? How often does that get diverted onto that? I would just say it happens a lot, doesn't it, Steve? And we need to be mindful as servants of the Lord that when it comes to spiritual matters, that there is no discussion with feelings or with personal desires to be had. But when it comes to spiritual matters, it all comes down to the truth found in God's word. And we need to have the ability to teach sound doctrine to others. Paul teaches Timothy of this there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. And notice his instruction to Timothy. Notice what he told him. He said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." And notice there in verses 3 and 4, he goes on to tell him why that's important that he preaches the word. Why it's important that he stays focused on the facts found contained in God's word. When he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will what? Turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It happens. And that's why we need to be focused upon keeping our attention upon God's Word when it comes to spiritual matters. And as a servant of the Lord, each and every one of us needs to have the ability, the knowledge to share the truth of God's Word with others. You see, a servant of the Lord again must imitate their master, and they must be able and willing to teach. We learn there in Matthew chapter 5. There in Matthew chapter 5, we learn about Jesus going up to a mountain. And we learn about when he was seated with his disciples. He came with them and he was seated with them. And then we see in verse 2, what did he do? It says, then he opened his mouth and taught them. There in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, we see where Luke, writing to Theophilus, said, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to what? To do and teach. Jesus Christ, our Master, was the Master Teacher. He was willing and able to teach others. And we have accounts in the Scripture of Him doing just that. And we need to be mindful that just as our Master was able and willing to teach others, as His servants, we too need to be willing and able to teach others. Simply put, we need to show a willingness to instruct those who are desolate of the truth. I want to stop there for a moment and ask you, how are you doing with that as a servant of the Lord? How are you doing with sharing the truth with those that are desolate of the truth? Are you willing to do that when that opportunity arises? Furthermore, are you able to do that when the opportunity arises? If not, why not? Because this is a quality that we all must have as servants of the Lord. We need to be willing and able to teach others. And here's the thing. We need to understand that Jesus' purpose was to come and to seek and save the lost. And how is that going to be done? Through teaching. How's that going to continue to be done? Through teaching. Who needs to be teaching? All servants of the Lord. We need to be mindful of that. And I understand that it's not always easy to teach and to instruct those, especially those who are in opposition. I'll be first to admit that. It's not easy. Not easy to teach and to instruct those who are in opposition. Those who don't agree with you. Those who are opposed to the things that you teach and the things that you stand for that are found in God's Word. I got a hard lesson on that when I started teaching at the prison back in 2014. You want to talk about some people that's going to be opposed to you? You want to talk about some people that's not afraid to tell you what they think? Who's not afraid to hurt your feelings? You want to talk about some people? Those inmates at Putnamville Correctional Facility. They were not afraid to tell you what they thought. They were not afraid to hurt your feelings. And boy, did my patience ever get tested. And I'll tell you, that's why we're going to look at another one of those qualities, why it's important to be patient as a servant of the Lord. And again, it's not easy. I'll be the first to admit that it's not always easy. But we need to, no matter how many people are opposed to us or against us, we need to be willing and able to instruct those who are desolate of the truth. And here's the thing. If we're going to effectively do that, we got to know the truth, don't we? We got to know the truth. If we're going to effectively teach others, just as there is a need for faithful men to be teaching others, as Paul made Timothy aware of there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, when he told Timothy to commit the things that he heard from him to who? To faithful men who is able to teach others. But if we're going to effectively do that, we've got to know the truth. We're going to have to spend time in the Word of truth. We're going to have to study God's Word to show ourselves approved to God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Just as Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It's going to take some effort on our part, isn't it? If we're going to be able and effective in teaching others the truth. But here's the thing. And I want you to think about this. I heard it said one time that a servant of the Lord who is not able to teach is like a surgeon who is not able to use a scalpel. Think about that. And put that in perspective with the necessity of the need for each and every one of us to be able to teach as servants of the Lord. Now, we all recognize a surgeon who cannot use a scalpel, he's not going to be effective, is he? He's pretty much going to be useless, isn't he? But turn that around and put a servant of the Lord in that blank. A servant of the Lord who cannot teach, how effective is he going to be for the master? He's not going to be very effective, is he? And I want you to think about that. I want you to understand that and realize the need that as servants of the Lord, we all need to be willing and able to teach. And here, going along with that, as we mentioned, a servant of the Lord must be patient. To be patient denotes being long-suffering or forbearing, steadfast in times of difficulty or times of opposition. Again, there's going to be times when your patience is going to be tested as a servant of the Lord. There's going to be times when you're going to be seeking to instruct those who are desolate of the truth, and they're going to be opposed to the things that you're teaching, and they're going to test your patience. There's going to be times that there's going to be times of opposition. And it is in those times that we need to be reminded of the fact that we need to be long-suffering. We need to be forbearing. We need to be steadfast in times of difficulty or opposition. Again, a servant of the Lord is to imitate their master. And we learn there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the fact that our Lord is long-suffering. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus, our Lord, is long-suffering? You see, we learn about that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The fact that He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. And just as our Lord is long-suffering with you and I, we as His servants need to likewise be long-suffering with others. And we need to remember the need to be patient. And the need to be patient with all. See, Paul instructs that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. The need to be patient, not with just some. But how did Paul say to be patient with? Who did he say to be patient with? All. Again, I'll be the first to admit, patience isn't always easy to come by. It's not always easy to come by. I still got a lot of work to do on that. I venture to say some of you still have a lot of work to do on that. But as servants of the Lord, we need to work on being long-suffering, forbearing, steadfast in times of difficulty or times of opposition. We need to be mindful of the need to be patient with all men. And here's the thing, we need to be mindful of the fact that oftentimes, God's work takes time. I think we forget that. I think we forget the fact that we have multiple examples throughout the pages of God's Word to where God's work took time. And I understand that when you're instructing someone in the way of the truth, that you just expect that person to get it just as you get it and understand it, just like that. That's what you want. That's what you desire. Oftentimes, that's what I desire. Oftentimes, I just want to grab a hold of someone and just shake them. What are you thinking? Why can't you see that? It's right there. But you know what? Everybody grows at different levels, don't they? It takes time sometimes for them to actually comprehend and understand the truth. And there's often times when we don't give people the time that they need to come to their senses. You see, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the fact that failure to be patient with someone could cost that person ultimately their soul. Have you ever looked at it from that angle? Pressuring somebody, failure to be patient with them in the fact that when you're trying to instruct them, you lose your temper with them, which could discourage them. Ultimately, if we fail to be patient, it can have devastating effects, can't it? And I think too many times we forget about that. But as we recognize the need for a servant of the Lord to be patient, we need to understand that sometimes God's work, it demands time. You see, I've known, and I've shared this story with you before, of situations growing up where people would come to services and they'd be there faithfully every first day of the week. And they would come week after week after week. But they would never respond to the gospel. They never obey the gospel. And I've known of at least three individuals in the congregation where I grew up at Greencastle. Of people who came week after week after week who eventually obeyed the gospel 15, 20, 25 years later. But you want to know something? When they were coming, they were where they needed to be. They were where they needed to be because they were hearing the truth. Yeah, did people want them to respond to that truth each time that they had that opportunity? Certainly so. But here's the thing. Thankfully, God was long-suffering with them. That allowed them time to escape the snare of the devil, to come to their senses, and to obey the gospel. And just as God is long-suffering, we too need to be long-suffering. We need to be mindful of the need to be patient, and to be patient with all. But here's another must-have characteristic of a servant of the Lord. And that is found there in verses 25 and 26 where it says, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Simply put, a servant of the Lord must humbly correct those in opposition. You see, it's important that we recognize that the gentleness and patience that we are to possess as a servant of the Lord does not mean that we are never going to confront those who need to be corrected. You see, there are going to be times as a servant of the Lord when we are going to have to confront those who need to be corrected. But here's the thing. When those times come, we are instructed on how we are to confront those who need to be corrected. And we are to do so in humility and not by being resentful. Again, most people, they don't want to have any part in opposition. Most people don't want to have any part in being involved in trying to correct those who need to be corrected. But as a servant of the Lord, we are instructed. We are instructed to confront and to correct those in opposition. And we need to understand that. We must not shy away from that when that is needed. And we need to recognize that not only are we instructed to correct those who are in opposition, but we are instructed and regarded to the type of disposition that is required in order to effectively handle that situation. We're to do it in humility. Again, a servant of the Lord must imitate their master. And our Lord and Master Jesus the Christ was humble. We learn about His humility there in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 8. And how He humbled Himself. And just as our Master was humble, again, He likewise expects His servants to be the same. And we need to be mindful of the fact that an attitude of humility, gentleness, and respect are not only required of a servant of the Lord, but they are crucial if we're going to be effective in correcting others. Are you aware of that? You see, not only is the attitude of humility, gentleness, and respect, not only are those qualities required of us as servants of the Lord, but these qualities are crucial if we're going to be effective in our correcting of others. Let me give you an example of that there in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1. Notice these words of instruction given by the Apostle Paul. He says, brethren, notice that. Brethren, he's addressing fellow servants of the Lord. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, do what, Paul? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Stop there. Paul addressing Christians tells Christians to seek to restore those who are overtaken in a trespass. And he tells them how they need to do that when he says, in a spirit of gentleness. And he tells them why they need to do that when he goes on to say, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Think about that. But as you think about that, also be mindful of these words of Peter found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. Because Peter, again addressing Christians, instructs Christians to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And how do you do that, Peter? With meekness and fear. You see that? That fear he's talking about there is respect. Meekness that he's talking about coincides with gentleness. And here we have further instructions that as Christians, we are to not only have the attitude of humility, but we're also to have that coupled with the attitude of gentleness and respect when we seek to correct others. When we seek to instruct those who are in opposition. And this is important. Because when you think about it, when we do this, when we possess an attitude of humility, gentleness, and respect, guess what? We're going to have a better chance of correcting those who are in opposition of the wrongs, aren't we? We're going to have a better chance of restoring those who have been overtaken in a trespass, aren't we? And ultimately, guess what? It could, in return, save their soul from eternal damnation. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. You see, we need to remember that the ultimate goal of a servant of the Lord, not quarreling but being gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, is the repentance of those who are caught in the snare of the devil. Simply put, the goal is not to win an argument. When we are seeking to correct those who are in opposition, our goal should not be to win an argument. But rather, our goal needs to be to win souls for Jesus Christ, our Master, our Lord, and Savior. Again, as servants of the Lord, may we all develop, maintain, and exhibit these must-have qualities of a servant of the Lord. Being ever knowing that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves to the Lord and His will. As we're about to sing, I propose the question to you, why wait? Why wait? Don't put that off. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you need to repent of your sins. You need to confess Jesus Christ. And you need to be baptized this very hour into Christ for the remission of your sins, so that you too can have that hope of eternal life. And we all need to remember the need to continue to be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The need to remain faithful unto death, remembering that Jesus has promised the crown of life to those who do. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves to obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We encourage you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Maxus Selector.